It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man. Good man. Community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up for yourself. Make it enough. Sup, hot.
Tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent
you. Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast. Featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley.
I digress. Hello, Brent.
Hey, Fred. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bat.
It's a good man. Good man. Community.
Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast. Featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 8.
The Ocho.
Just two guys playing catch. That's all it's going to be. The Ocho is going to be two guys playing catch.
Thanks,
Hope you enjoyed it. Anyway, I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Tell him what's up.
Hello, friend.
So today's episode, we're going off the old sports route. We're going to loop back. Notice I said loop. Do you see how back?
I caught you.
We're going to loop back to sports, but we're going to talk about something that Jason and I both grew up with and loved, Chicago radio. Now, we're a Chicago-centric podcast, in case you didn't understand that. It's kind of what we know. It's where we grew up. So, this week, actually, we should probably go backstory a skosh, right?
Yeah.
Back to the when we were.
Sure.
There were, at least my memories are two major rock stations in this town when I was a kid. One was WMET, which I loved.
Okay.
That was my jam.
All right.
And there was a loop.
We didn't get MET out.
I lived further away from Chicago than you did, brother. It was 95.5. It was MET. They had way better selection of rock and roll than the loop. The loop would play the hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
MET would play the hits and then also dig deeper into albums, right?
Okay.
That's what MET's jam was, right?
Album rock. Album-oriented rock.
AOR, baby. That's what they were. Album-oriented rock. And then MET went away because they were bought and they turned them into smooth jazz.
Sorry?
Exactly.
That's what I remember 95.5 being.
Yes.
I hate to say that out loud.
No, that's fine.
Holy crap.
But this was before smooth jazz. They were literally rock and roll powerhouse. I loved MET. My friends all loved MET. So we listened to MET, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then MET went away, and we're like, oh, okay, well, I guess we're going to have to listen to Loop, which wasn't the worst thing in the world back then. The Loop has carried on a rock and roll tradition since we were kids, right?
Correct.
Since we were teenagers in high school. That all changed last week when they became a Christian station. Now, look, there's something to be said for legacy, right? Like those people in that time that we grew up in, the Loop was it.
Right.
Right? Like, you want to hear rock and roll, it was the Loop.
Yeah.
You know, XRT was for like older adults.
That was from when we got to college.
Correct. Yes.
And then CKG was my jam, but that was really classic.
Classic rock.
Yeah.
It was kind of what the drive is now.
Basically,
yes. Yeah. So, like, the Loop sponsored every big rock show. It was sponsored by the Loop. Every artist, when they came to town, went on the Loop.
You might have had a Loop painter's hat. With some buttons on it.
Of course. With some Judas Priest buttons on it.
Well, hey.
Sure.
We do what we do.
That's right. That's all gone. And it happens, as so frequently happens in radio, immediately.
Yeah.
It was just like gone, right? Rock, 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 rock. And God loves you. Like that.
Now.
Quickly. That's kind of how it went.
Wait, okay. I'm going to paint this picture for you. You said it went rock, rock, rock. God loves you.
That's correct.
Technically.
No. Yeah.
It went.
It went Satan, Satan, Satan.
No, no, no. Well, yeah. Yeah. Literally, it did. The last three songs that were played on the loop before it switched over were Number of the Beast.
Maiden.
By Iron Maiden.
I've seen Maiden concert. They're incredible.
Yes.
Yes.
Shout Out the Devil, Motley Crue.
Yes.
And the last song played before midnight, before it switched over, was Highway to Hell by AC/DC.
That's right.
Which has my favorite guitar solo in it of all time.
Well,
so if you're going to go out classy, loop, well played.
Yes.
You know what? I tip my hat to you for that.
That's, you know what that is? That's literally middle fingers up in the air, right?
It really is.
And that's like.
Now, and this is what bothers me about radio.
Yeah.
Most other businesses, as they're failing, and TV specifically, will look to the audience and say, listen, our ratings are failing. We need your help.
Yeah.
We need you to step up and say, hey, I like this, or I want to do this.
Right.
Radio does not do that. Mm-mm. I mean, I've done Nielsen books. I've filled in my thing that said I listened to the Cubs on GN when they were there, and I listened to Sirius, to Howard Stern at that same point. But other than that, there's really no other way to gauge other than advertising.
Yeah.
And when you read ratings in a book, it really means advertising dollars.
But while you're correct in that, those ratings books can be skewed.
Absolutely they can be.
Only because, you know, there's demographics that stations are trying to hit.
Right.
And while the rating may be good, the demographic they're trying to hit and advertisers are trying to hit may not be good.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, B96 is the number one station in Chicago, or has been for several years.
Yeah.
Among kids that are like 13 to 16, they don't have any money. They don't buy anything.
Correct.
So what does that get you?
Nothing.
Right.
I mean, it gets their parents' money.
I mean, the target audience is, and I hate to say, I'm going to say this out loud.
Sorry, age.
But it's men 25. It's men 25 to 54.
Right. And that's the same demographic as sports radio.
That is absolutely correct.
Right?
Yes.
Which is going to segue
into
the next topic. Now, look.
Listen.
Yesterday, I don't know, no other way to put it than sucked. All of what we talk about in this podcast and our interaction about sports is completely stemmed from 670 The Score.
Which is what we emulated, which is what we learned from, which is why I want to do this.
It's our open, me too. It's our open, it's our close, right?
Right.
Like awesome phrases from the years from On The Score. What they did, and people may not know, and to a certain extent may not care, but we're going to summarize it for you. So here's what happened. On Monday, Twitter leaked out some things, right? Or actually, it was actually Robert Feeder that leaked out some things.
He's
on the ball. When it's what you do, you tend to, right?
That's all he does.
He does it very well. If you don't really watch, robertfeeder.com, F-E-D-E-R. But I digress. So here's what happened. The lineup as of last week, as we tape this, we're taping this on a Thursday. The lineup last week was Mully and Hanley in the morning.
Before you go further,
yeah,
the fifth ranked show in Chicago overall for that time slot.
Yes. So Mully and Hanley in the morning, that was untouched.
Untouchable.
Which is fine.
And I'm fine with it. Both those guys.
I got to be honest. Rarely up that early to hear. Just because of my job, not because of any laziness. That's just I work kind of nights, so I'm never up that early.
And before we keep moving on with this lineup, I just want to say that let's kind of go back and look at the other morning lineups that might have not been so listenable.
The Bull and the Bear.
Murph and Fred. Murph and
Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, Fred. Hey, oh, you want me to talk? Okay, great.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for touching your nose. yeah, there had been some bad morning. But the,
when
the
they score put this together,
finally
I'm like,
found.
This is something I can sink my teeth into. Correct. I'm excited when I get yep. in the car. Yep. I'm 670. I'm not down the dial.
Nope.
Listening to national sports.
I want nothing to do
I
with
want local
that
hometown
show.
Sports right. in the morning.
I don't want to listen to Wingo and Michael.
Oh, my God. That's a whole other
that's
thing.
Whole, I mean, it could be an argument for later in this podcast.
Sure, even.
But let's get back to the score. So the morning lineup was Molly and Hanley, which is Mike Mulligan and Brian Hanley, both legit sports writers. At least Mulligan. Hanley, I think, stopped writing. But Molly covers the Bears for the Sun-Times, I believe. Then it was a combination of Matt Spiegel, who's been in Chicago radio forever, be it as a producer or an on-air talent.
Or intern at the old 820.
Yeah, for sure. And
at the bunker.
Now, Matt Spiegel is our age. He's in this kind of the same things we are, music and sports. We love Matt Spiegel. We are big, big fans of Matt Spiegel. And a guy with the name by the name of Danny Parkins. Now, Danny Parkins is an import. Now, technically not an import. He went to New Trier. He's a Chicago guy. He worked his way up. He hosted.
He interned with McNeil.
He interned with McNeil.
Up the dial.
Correct. He worked on sports radio in Kansas City and was highly rated there. And there came a time when Terry Bors, we'll get to down the road, retired. Due to health issues. So their hand was forced to make changes at that point.
Correct.
Right? Now the midday show from 10 to 2 used to be, or 10 to 1 used to be hosted by, or 9 to 1, excuse me, used to be hosted by Jason Goff and Matt Spiegel. Jason Goff, former intern producer of the Bors and Bernstein show, went to Atlanta to further his career.
To host.
And he hosted.
He left as a producer.
Drive.
Yeah.
He left as a producer, went there as a host, got his on-air chops down, and then they hired him back.
But before that, yeah. I just want to give Spiegel the props that he deserves.
Yeah.
It was it was middays with Matt Spiegel and Dan McNeil, who had been with the score as a producer for Chet Kopic way back in the day. Yeah. Dangerous Dan McNeil.
Yeah.
Moved up the dial to the Afternoon Saloon. Very successful.
Well, he was the heavy fuel crew with Terry Bors.
With Terry Bors before that. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And then came back and did middays with Spiegel.
Right.
Which I thought was a nice blend.
It was.
Due to personality. I mean, I don't want to. Personality is the wrong word. Personal issues.
Yep.
McNeil retired.
Correct. He, for lack of a better word, quit.
They filled in with. A recent bear
right.
export,
Pat Manley,
yep. who was fine, and
I loved him.
He was a good guy. He didn't know what he was getting into,
and he only knew football.
But he didn't want to get up every day. He didn't want to talk other sports than
he
football.
He wanted to golf.
That's what he wanted to do.
That's it, man.
And God bless him, man. The guy played 20 years in the NFL as a specialist.
Long time.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So he left.
Yep.
And then they brought in Jason Goff,
correct.
Which I thought that was. For me,
dream.
That was radio
it
from
was,
heaven.
We loved it.
Great pairing.
Yeah. Jason Goff, younger than Matt Spiegel.
African American.
Therefore, younger than us. African American. Had a completely new, exciting point of view of what was going on in life, out of sports, in sports, whatever. And I remember there was
Spiegel was willing to listen to him, wanting to learn from him. I mean,
I forget which incident, because there have been so many over the last few years, but there was an incident. Maybe it was a shoot. It was the guy that got gunned down in his car. The African-American guy that got gunned down in his car. Jason Goff literally cried on air. He was weeping. To his benefit, it was real.
Yeah.
Very real. And he spoke the truth. The younger end of the truth, right?
Yeah.
And the African-American end of the truth.
I'll be honest.
When he had to.
As an old, fat, white guy.
Yeah.
Being able to hear his view on things.
Yeah.
I
refreshing, in my opinion.
Well, I don't get it on a day-to-day basis. Mm-mm. I don't have enough African-American friends. I'm not in the community. I don't know what's up.
Me either.
I look to that as kind of my entree or my understanding.
Yes, and of life, of non-big, fat, white guy.
I mean, think about the world we live in, man.
Right.
I mean, don't you want to know what other people think and how they live. I mean, you and I, we had our episode 4.
Yeah.
Walking in our shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how other people live.
I would not.
Getting to hear about it is a blessing to me.
Yeah, I wouldn't begin to understand what it's like.
None.
No. So Goff and Spiegel were on the midday show. The afternoons were Terry Bores and Dan Bernstein. They were together for 10 years, literally, maybe longer. Entertaining, only because Terry was funny as shit. Had a great viewpoint. Dan Bernstein, insufferable. But Terry made that show listenable.
Let's talk about Terry's history.
Yeah.
Pro wrestler?
He's either a wrestler or involved in wrestling in some way, maybe a ring announcer, but yeah.
All right, let's go farther back than that. Yeah. Growing up in...
The Heights. He went to Bloom, yeah.
Right.
Chicago Heights, I should say.
Right.
To be accurate.
In the 60s.
Yes.
And again, being the age that I'm at, getting to hear stories from this man who I respected talk about things that I never got to see. In the cars and the racing that he did, and then the wrestling, and then he did the Bulls beat.
Yep.
I mean, complete street cred, complete legit. Yep. Loved this guy. And loved.
Right. In my respects, being from the South Suburbs, to see a South Suburban guy out there kicking ass, taking names, writing about stuff, and on the radio talking about stuff, bunch of cred.
Right.
Serious cred, right?
Right.
So that was the lineup. So it was Mully and Hanley. It was Goff and Spiegel and Dan and Terry. That was the lineup.
That was the good lineup. That was the lineup that I would like to put in what's the...
Time capsule.
Thank you.
Then the wheels kind of started coming off. So Terry Bores retired due to health issues, right? He had some serious health issues. I don't know what they were. He was private enough about it to not make that abundantly clear what those issues were, but he had health issues. Fine. No problem. So he retires. They had to make a change, clearly, because Dan's not going to work by himself. Thank God.
The problem is, who wants to work with that guy?
I wouldn't. Well, no, everybody has a price, right?
Right. No, I understand this. I mean, as a foil, that guy's perfect. I mean, you need a lightning rod. You need somebody to hate.
Right. Now, we grew up, the early days of The Score, there was a show in the afternoons, Monsters of the Midday, right? It was Mike North and Dan Jiggets.
Light 'em up, Chicago! 1, 2, 3.
Right? Like that was a show. That was a thing, right?
Hey, Fritzy.
Right. Let's talk to Fritzy. Anyway. Where it was the perfect blend of bombastic and a guy that's gonna keep you in check.
Yeah.
Right.
So meatball and somebody athlete. That's done it. Yeah, right.
Right. Meatball and athlete.
Sure.
Okay. So let's go back to the current
or
day.
Hot
so,
dog.
That's right. Go for a hot dog right about now.
Right.
So let's loop back. So Terry gets sick. Luke gets sick, or Terry gets sick. Here's how they decided to clean it up or shake it up. Right, they put Jason Goff on afternoons with Dan Bernstein. Now, there's also a history of Jason Goff in that when he was a teenager, he would call into The Score to talk to Dan and Terry.
He also produced,
correct, and he produced Dan and Terry before he went to Atlanta,
correct.
So there was a familiarity, what have you.
And at that point,
yeah,
he was probably the only person on the radio station at that time that could stand Dan Bernstein.
Correct.
I mean, he's the only one that ever stood up for him.
Yep.
It was like they kind of had a special bond
that
surpassed anything else.
Correct. And I'm not going to talk about producers that were there and not there anymore. We're just going to talk about on-air talent.
Right. Love producers, by the way.
Jay Zawoski, my guy. So
Rick Camp,
my guy. Anyway, so they
Herb Lawrence.
Shep. So they Cole Tucky. So they replaced Terry Bores with Jason Goff. They went out of the market and hired Danny Parkins. Now Danny Parkins knew Trier, went to Chicago, big Chicago guy, interned for McNeil down the dial at AM 1000, went to Kansas City, made his way, had good ratings. and they brought him in to pair with Matt Spiegel in the middays. Train wreck.
Horrible.
At times hard to listen to.
For Spiegel and the producers together. I mean, the main joke was how much they hated this guy.
And
part of it was a bit. Part of it is because all of the listeners wrote in about how much they hated him, wanted him off, and then kind of they tried to spin it and make it a joke. And, whatever. But exactly. You could hear.
Right. You could hear
the reality in there. Right. Yeah.
In my viewpoint, the only reason I listened to that show was for the producers.
Yeah.
It's for Rick Camp and Jay Zawoski. Anytime they chimed in, it made the show.
I don't
tweet, quite frankly.
I don't tweet a lot, Joe, but or go on to Facebook Live when they right. were on there. Right. But several times when Spiegel was out and it was just Parkins by himself, I said, you've got to sit Jay in or you got to sit Rick in.
Somebody's got to be in there.
Nobody can listen to this by himself.
To his benefit, he does interact with them more when he's by himself, when Matt is on vacation
or whatever. He has to.
Right, because nobody wants to listen to one guy talk by himself. I learned that myself the hard way. In my previous life as a podcaster.
Hashtag Lindy Podcast.
Hashtag Lindy Cast. not that it was brutal, but there's no one wants to listen to one guy just talk. Nobody, right? They want to hear two people having a conversation that they may overhear at a bar or at a restaurant. That's what they kind of want, right?
You're on the score. Hey, Les.
Hey, Les. I want to talk about the 1971 DePaul Blue Demons. Okay, so up to this point, we've got, just to go back and make sure everybody's on the same page, Molly and Hanley in the morning, Spiegel and Parkins in the middays, Dan and Jason Goff on afternoon drive, right?
Right.
Now, at night, it varies because they have the Cubs. They're the flagship station for the Cubs and the Bulls. So, nighttime, Lawrence Holmes, our guy.
That's your anchor.
Lawrence, if you ever listen to this show, dude, you're the man. You're our guy. So, come Monday morning, so let's loop back. Monday morning, Twitter blows up. Right, my Twitter is blown up, left and right. They fired Jason Goff.
He's still being paid by the station.
Technically still an employee, but
sidelined.
Quote unquote sidelined. Yeah. However you want to put it. Spin it. Whatever.
Whatever.
Jason Goff gone.
Get that paper, kid.
Matt Spiegel gone. At this point, when I hear those two things, full panic.
Right.
Right. I'm in the car 2 hours a day, every day. Well, technically four. But during the daytime, 2 hours a day, roughly. Hour and 45, 2 minutes, 2 hours a day. I listen to radio the entire time, just about. Occasionally a podcast every now and then.
Sometimes music.
Correct. Spotify fired up, whatever. But it's all sports radio. Then they moved. This is the part that's the kick in the ass. They moved Danny Parkins from middays to afternoon drive.
That's a promotion, by the way.
Correct.
A promotion for the person that probably got the most hate mail other than Dan Bernstein.
Moved in middays with Dan McNeil. They brought back Dan McNeil, who I can't believe they pulled that off, but whatever. So now the afternoon show is Danny Parkins, who nobody likes, and Dan McNeil, who arguably everybody likes.
If he can stay together.
He has an attitude.
Well, I'm thinking he's more going back to Allen Robinson or, I mean, if he can stay healthy, he's my guy.
Kevin Smith.
Right, sure.
Not Kevin Smith.
Well, Kevin Smith had a heart attack.
And Kevin Smith did have a heart attack. Kevin White.
There we go. Either way.
And they moved Dan Bernstein. And this is the ultimate kick in the newts if you're me.
Or to him.
Moved him to middays. With a former scorer that you want from a guy with a guy that won a contest.
This almost makes it
to
worth
be
it.
The next score host, right?
Yeah,
Connor McKnight.
Over 10 years ago.
Now Connor McKnight, in the last few years, has hosted pre and post for the White Sox on WLS.
Correct.
But WLS
Lost the Sox.
They lost the Sox. They're now in GN. They didn't want Connor McKnight. Andy Mazur, believe it or not, is going to be the Sox guy.
Oh, my word.
I know. Yeah, just throw that out there.
Back from San Diego?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
It's Andy Mazur.
All right.
But yeah, so now on paper, I'm left listening to Dan Bernstein
and
Connor McKnight.
No, you're not.
Under no circumstances.
No.
Am I listening to that show?
No, you're not.
I was so irate with Goff and Spiegel being let go, I deleted the score from my presets on my radio.
And if it wasn't for the Cubs, I would have done the same.
I unfollowed their Twitter account. I unfollowed all the people on air Twitter accounts. I don't follow any of them. Not Parkins, not McNeil, certainly not Bernstein, not Connor McKnight. The only people I follow now are some of the producers.
Right.
Shep, Nick Shepkowski, Jay Zawoski, and Rick Camp. That's
Herb Lawrence.
And I follow Lawrence Holmes.
I follow Herb Lawrence and Lawrence.
Because Lawrence Holmes is awesome on Twitter. Because he has so many different things. Lawrence Holmes hosts nights on the Score, which is rare because during the Cubs games, you know, at night, he's not hosting. But he has many feet in the fire. So there's many things for him to tweet about and pump and whatever.
Back when I used to travel,
yeah,
85% of my life, the best show that I ever heard was Lawrence Holmes, Jason Goff, and Herb Lawrence.
Yep.
One night from like 9 to midnight.
Yeah.
I had to drive here to Michigan.
Yeah.
And they just talked about stuff, man.
Yep.
I mean, there were sports in there,
yeah,
but they talked about life,
yep,
and what's going on. And that was so refreshing,
right,
coming from, you know, commercial radio.
Correct.
Where you're not, you know, no, you don't want to offend anybody.
Right.
You can't talk politics because, you know what, you'll lose half. Oh. You'll lose half your audience.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, how many times did you and I say that Jason and Lawrence would be a great show together? But, oh, you can't do that because of all the talk more sports.
Or why are there two black guys in the radio?
Well, that's another thing. I think that's what talk more sports means.
Right.
To be quite honest with you. I mean, the Score doing this, it's really, it speaks cultural volumes.
It's a slap in the face for everybody, for every traditional Score listener.
Well,
and every forward thinking Score listener.
Agreed. Progressive.
Jason Goff was the future of that station.
He was.
Just like they thought Dan Bernstein was the future of that station when they put him on with Terry Bors 10 years ago.
They put their money behind Danny Parkins.
Yeah, which is a sad, sad statement. Because he sucks.
As much as you and I love Lawrence, Lawrence tweeted out that Jason is his favorite radio host ever.
Yes, and he's right.
And he's right.
He's close to right.
No.
Like,
That guy is the perfect blend of sports, honesty,
politics,
whatever.
He's a guy.
He's honest and he's not reactionary.
Correct.
He doesn't fight with you. He doesn't hang up on you. Hmm. If he differs with your opinion, he would say,
correct.
Tell me why you think
Whereas
that.
Whereas Bernstein would just shit on you.
Yeah.
Like Bernstein just go, fuck you, you're dumb
stupid.
Shit. Right. Exactly.
Hang up.
Yeah.
Hang up on this guy.
Get the fuck off my radio station. Like, that's Bernstein. And for them to do this to every listener, and I've listened from day one. I listened when it was Tom Scher. I listened to the young sports writers.
The hair on that guy.
The young sports writers with Brian Hanley and Terry Bors.
The young sports writers.
I've listened to it all. I sat through Murph. I fucking sat through Murph. And to pull this crap of having those guys, right?
It's
those guys.
Yeah.
Pushed on me by management that has no clue. And I'm willing to bet you a dime to a donut, and this may be a little inside baseball, I don't think any of this was a station manager's call.
No.
I don't think this was Mitch Rosen's call on any level.
It doesn't feel like it. In fact, the morning that they announced this, which A, was ham-handed,
Completely.
B, felt forced because everything blew up through feeder and Twitter.
Right.
But they came out and tried to sell it as, well, this is the first day of the NFL free agency.
Yeah, don't
so
pull that shit.
So we're gonna announce our new lineup.
Right.
And our great new owners want us to play offense. So in doing so, playing offense and not being, you know, retreating, we are going out there and we're saying that this is our new lineup. It just it was right. pathetic. It was sad.
It was,
you could hear in his voice he didn't want to do it.
Right. It's a pathetic attempt to cover up shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look, what is the overall, you know, rating for the station great? No. They're 19th in the market. Overall rating, right? They're good rating. That's fact.
And that's pulling...
That's
pulling a five.
That's a fact.
Out of 5 to 9.
Right.
You're 19. So that means correct. That you're pretty bottom heavy.
No.
And that's with the Cubs.
Right. Well, no. Not
the last ratings
book.
The
last ratings book.
Correct.
But my point is this. And I alluded to this earlier. If you're targeting a certain demographic and your overall is 19th, that does not reflect how good or bad you are. Right?
Right.
If women 25 to 45 aren't listening to your station, you're not gunning a sports station for that demographic.
No, you're not.
It's all about the demographic, right?
We talked.
And that's the way the loop was, and that's the way the score is. They're targeting this demographic. Now, I don't have a ratings book in front of me. I don't know. I'm willing to bet that the demographic, if you went by males 25 to 54, which is that demographic.
That they want.
They're in the top five.
That's who spends money.
They have to be in the top five, right?
Right.
They got to be. And if they're not, then I understand that changes may need to be made. But you do not, under any circumstances, get rid of the future of your station. Jason Goff was the future of that station.
Agreed.
Without question. Okay. The producers on there, I feel awful for because they're stuck.
They are.
It's completely out of their hands, right?
Yeah. They've got,
and they have to make the best of a situation.
That's exactly what they're doing.
May or may not agree with.
Right.
But I'm willing to bet you, want to see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, however many beers we have on the table, empty cans right now. I will bet you that the producers of the midday show are pissed.
Absolutely.
That they have to put up with that complete ass bag, Dan Bernstein. That guy should not be on the radio. When they fired Jason Goff, they fired the wrong half of that fucking team.
They did.
Once Terry Bors left.
Same with Parkins and Spiegel.
Correct. Once Terry Bors left, Dan Bernstein should have been right behind him.
All right. And this is, I've got a theory for you, Joe. They were able to quote unquote sideline Jason Goff.
Yep.
Pay him for a year.
Yep.
With his current salary.
Yep.
Bernstein's contract's longer. He makes more money.
For sure.
I don't see the score eating that.
Right.
To send him packing.
Just like the Bears when
demoting him to middays.
Right.
It's probably the best that they could do. I mean, I could see them going to him and saying, here's a buyout. And him saying, no, talk to my lawyer.
Right.
You're going to pay me my entire contract.
And that
contract.
All could have happened. We have no idea.
I'm speculating all of this. I just know that Jason only had a year left on his contract. And
I don't even know that.
No, well, he tweeted
that. If he did, then okay.
He tweeted that.
Well, then if he has a year left and he's going to get paid for his contract.
Yes.
Fucking, he's got a toddler.
Yeah.
Spend that year at home.
Right.
Be with your boy.
Like, right.
Period. Get paid, son, and then worry about it.
Right.
Right? He's still going to get, if it's in his contract, that he gets performance bonuses based on the Cubs' revenues or ratings revenue. Okay.
Through the great. Next contract, sure. And the Cubs will be good, so.
But.
Cash that money.
They've denied him his voice.
Which is awful. And that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
He and Spiegel. Yeah. I mean. I guess the backlash is really what bothers me the most. Oh, well, if you're going to be left-leaning, you know, good for you. I'm glad you're gone. Whatever, blah, blah. And
who gives a shit?
Who gives a fucking shit?
Right? Like, who cares what side you lean on? It's sports.
Right? Well, and that's,
right?
It goes back to the talk more sports.
Right.
You know, get off this whole political thing about football players taking a knee.
Right.
Really?
Just dribble.
That's not sports.
Just dribble, LeBron.
Right.
Like, go fuck yourself. Like, sports should be about sports.
Jordan stayed clean for so long and because he didn't take a stand.
Republicans buy Jordans too.
Yeah.
That's his stand,
mm-hmm.
by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. And I'm not saying left or right's wrong or right. That's not the point of this conversation. The point of this conversation is if Jason Goff came out and said that he supports the Black Lives Matter movement or any other movement or whatever, that should have no bearing on his employment.
And I believe that it did.
I believe you might be right. That he was, his opinions, while in the big scheme of things, shouldn't matter.
Correct.
That's all they did was matter, right? His opinions matter, right? And it goes back to, look, the First Amendment says you can say whatever you want and not get put in jail, right?
It does.
That's what it says.
Unless you yell fire in a theater.
Of course, right. Right, of course. However, the one thing that in business people don't understand, First Amendment does not apply to business, right?
No.
You can't just sit there and rally and rail on your employer or rail on something that your employer doesn't agree with. You can get fired for that.
The customer / a listener is always right.
Correct.
And
for better or for worse, all these people that say, Goff's First Amendment rights, no, they were not. They were not imposed on. The First Amendment rights protect you from the government putting you in jail for saying something.
That's correct.
That's it.
Yeah.
It does not apply to your employer. And if your employer tells you, stop saying that, if you don't stop saying that, we're going to fire you, and you keep saying it, then you're going to get fired. And that's through no fault of anybody involved, right? But the employer has the right to do that. And I've seen it firsthand of an employer going to an employee and going, stop saying that. I've seen it personally. And it's happened.
I don't believe that that's right.
Right or wrong.
No, I know.
The company or station or whatever has an image, has a voice. They want to control the voice.
Right.
So if they tell you stop talking about something, you have to stop talking about it if you want your job. That's but just how it works.
It does.
For better or for worse.
But God bless him. God bless him for not sucking it and doing that.
Absolutely.
You know,
I applaud him for not,
I mean,
kowtowing to anybody that told him not to talk about that.
Because unfortunately, we've seen people do that. We've seen people do that. We've seen people eat it to keep their jobs.
Yeah.
And be you, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
live your truth.
Hashtag episode 4.
NFLTG. Hashtag episode 4. I mean, you know, and I applaud anybody that is willing to go on a limb and make statements that somebody has told them not to make. But at the same point, you have to live with the consequence of doing it. If you're willing to do that, great. All these kids that walked out yesterday for the school shooting thing.
Yeah.
I have nothing but love and respect and everything else that goes with it.
Right.
But I will say this. If the school comes to them and suspends them, or detention, or whatever, that's part of life, brother.
I get that.
You gotta. You can stand for something, but if if the people above you willing, don't stand for that,
you gotta
be willing to pay the price.
That's correct. No, and the problem I have with that, and I will use the school shooting as an example.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend tell me today that her niece was the only kid that stayed in class and stayed quiet and just sat there for the entire time that they were gone.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, I agree with the kids walking out.
Sure.
I believe that what they are doing is right.
Yep.
However, there is no way in hell that somebody should come back and look at that little girl that sat there and chose not to do that and say, oh, you're for people dying.
Correct.
You're for kids getting killed.
100.
No. Yep. So
right. Yep.
But nobody's willing, and this is what I loved about Goff, is nobody's willing to talk about it and have a conversation.
Right.
And like you said, unfortunately, it's a business.
Right.
And
in the end. Yeah.
I don't want to say, probably the majority of people that listen to that station don't want to hear that message.
Correct. And, which is unfortunate. Which is
very sad.
Which is sad and unfortunate. And we want to hear the me and Jason and Tommy, right? Tommy, he's nodding his head. We agree with that message, right? Mm-hmm. I support those kids 150,000,000%.
Correct.
But at the same point, I am also understanding of the other end of it, that if they violated some rule that they weren't supposed to do that, they also have to be willing to accept the consequences. Like a protest. If you're protesting illegally, violence or whatever on either side of the aisle, so anybody that says snowflake can go fuck themselves, Republican or Democrat or whatever you want to call it, you have to be willing to accept the consequences of your actions.
Right.
Jason may or may not have be willing to accept the consequences of his actions. But that doesn't give the station the fucking right to shove people around to better their own agenda.
Well, this...
Right?
I don't know. It's a business.
It is. But my point is, Dan Bernstein's the afternoon host.
Correct.
If you're going to demote him, fire him.
This, I'm with you there. I'm with you here. Just because everything that Goff said, Bernstein agreed with.
Yes.
Yet he is still there.
Correct. And Goff is not.
What are the differences?
None, in my opinion. Now, Terry, now Dan.
What are the differences?
Well, Dan has physical track
differences, Joe. I'm going to make you say it.
All right. One's black and one's white.
Correct.
Now, I'm not going to say it's racial because they let Matt Spiegel go. Matt Spiegel's not black.
Right. But he also.
However, and nothing. And some wise man said nothing matters before the but. So, but.
I don't do butt play, man.
Hello.
Spiegel.
Butt play, hello.
Spiegel. And Goff were on the same page politically.
Oh, very much.
And I think that's really what this came down to. And so, although people always point fingers at Bernstein and say, oh, liberal, I would guess that guy votes Republican. Because of the money that he and his wife make.
Yeah.
And he said, you would be surprised what my political leanings are.
Yeah. So, and not only that, but he has to make a shit ton of money, right?
Right.
His move to middays can be viewed as nothing short of a demotion.
It has to be. And putting with a kid that won a contest.
And the point is this, right?
Take it.
Right. If you're here, you can't see this on the podcast, but my hand is up very high. If you're here and my hand is lower, saying you get moved to here, why are you here? Why are you around?
Because he said the same thing.
Like in my gig, if somebody got demoted like that, they would just end up getting fired. Like there's a price point for that spot.
Right.
And if Bernstein is above that price point for that spot, the ratings that they're going to pull in, no matter who's in that spot, you have to get rid of them. You have to, because you're just spending good money after bad.
Don't you think that they are counting on his ego to get out of this?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I mean, knowing the guy, not at all,
right.
But knowing what I think I know of him through the radio.
Sure.
He's got two kids going to college very soon.
Yep.
He does not want to leave.
He doesn't want to downgrade in his lifestyle.
He's tried to get out of this job several times. He's tried to move to TV.
Yeah.
He's tried to go to like CBSSports.com.
Good.
Either as a on-air talent or writer.
Get out.
No, I hear you kick rocks, but
right.
I think the score doing this is like, we kind of don't want you. We're kind of showing you.
Right. That we don't want you.
We're either going to embarrass you enough or you're going
to
leave.
We're under contractual obligation to do something.
Yeah. We're not going to pay you to do nothing.
Correct.
We can't afford to do that.
My opinion is, I'd rather pay him to do nothing than have him hurt your station.
Right. Well, that's...
And putting him on middays with people who are used to a certain way of hearing the midday show, it'd be like... Let me think of a national way to put this for people listening to the podcast elsewhere. It would be like from 10 to 2 in the afternoon, 10 in the morning to 2 in the afternoon, MSNBC was on.
I don't know that that was that strong.
But I'm just
okay
making the comparison.
Okay.
If from 10 to 2 it was MSNBC, and that's all you could see was MSNBC, and then you come back on a Monday and it's Fox News. Not that it's that extreme politically necessarily, but
it is that different.
I'm trying to paint a picture.
It is that different.
I want nothing to do with Dan Bernstein. And I'm willing to bet a dime to a donut that anybody that listens to Matt Spiegel or ever listened to Jason Goff when it was Spiegel and Goff wants to hear Dan Bernstein. I don't. You don't. No. And I don't care who's with him.
No, and see, and that's the thing. When it was him and Terry, that was fine. Terry got ill, mm-hmm. and they had a cavalcade of guests come through,
right.
and it was listenable.
Yeah.
Lawrence was there.
Yeah.
Barry Rosner was there.
I love Barry Rosner.
I mean, as do I.
And,
I mean,
right. And I'll say this: the next ratings book, if they can get a ratings book in this time frame,
good fucking luck with that.
Good luck, because I guarantee you. Danny Parkins and Dan McNeil is a severe downgrade. Like, you're that show, if you really want to think about the future of your station and you really want to get ratings, that show should be Jason Goff and Lawrence Holmes.
It should be. Now,
100%.
Now, let's be you and me. We talked earlier that it probably is not Mitch Rosen's fault.
Correct.
It probably falls on Jimmy DeCastro, mm-hmm. who, in his credit, was the architect of the Loop.
Correct. One of the most powerhouse talk stations in the history of Chicago radio.
I want to say the history of national radio.
Maybe so.
I mean, it was Brand Meyer, Matthews, yeah. Stephen Gary.
And then when Gary left, it was just Steve. But yeah, same thing.
You're printing money there. So he goes from that to...
But that worked in the 80s.
And see,
in
that's,
the 90s.
And maybe he's too old.
Maybe
that's the thing, because by doing McNeil and Parkins, you're trying to recreate Bors and Bernstein.
And I'll say this.
Trying to recreate that.
Yeah, and I don't think we've mentioned this in this episode yet. It's 47 minutes in, roughly. I like Dan McNeil.
I do too.
I like listening to him.
I did too.
There's a meatballish to him, of course.
And there's some in me.
But there's an attitude.
And
there's some in me too.
And there's humbleness.
Correct.
And there's genuineness. And
he gives a shit.
He does.
And sometimes he gives a shit to a fault, and it causes him issues.
Troubles.
With station managers or whatever in his past. But I 100% respect that. That guy gives a shit.
Yeah.
Whereas Dan Bernstein, I don't think gives a shit.
No, it's a paycheck.
It's a paycheck.
Yeah. He would rather be doing something.
I was just about to say that. I was going to say he arguably resents being on the radio.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Yeah.
And the minute one single caller calls in with some asinine opinion, which everybody listening knows is an asinine opinion.
Right.
For like, hey, they should bring Ditka back. Okay. Right. Dan is the guy to just hang up next caller.
Right.
Instead of understanding that that listener is part of his listener core and he should, I'm not necessarily kiss his ass, but should understand his viewpoint.
You know who's
good or bad?
You know who's perfect at that? Is Lawrence.
Lawrence is absolutely perfect.
Now, He'll have guys that call in intentionally to wind him up.
Sure.
And just like Bernstein did.
Of course.
But Bernstein wouldn't see it for what it was.
Right.
He would either write it off as, oh, that guy's just, you know, correct. Doing a bit, whatever, right. blah, right. blah, blah, blah. Right. Lawrence would talk to the guy long enough for the guy to, like, get insecure and feel dumb and then right. just hang up on himself.
Right. And Jason was the same way.
He was.
Whereas Bernstein would just delete, right? Lawrence, and to a certain extent, Jason would... Let them bury themselves.
Yes.
But at least they allow the conversation to happen.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
Whereas Bernstein can't be bothered.
No. And see, and although sometimes you and I might think it's a bit, that might be a real guy.
Man.
That really thinks that.
Right.
And by talking to him that way, you were you know, saying, listen, I understand. I'm trying to listen to what you have to say.
Correct.
I may not agree with it.
Right. You're just immediately dismissing it. And the last couple of days, I've been AM1000ing it with David Kaplan because that's when I'm in the car.
Oh, Jesus.
Who's not
no.
the best.
It's not good.
But he allows every single caller to state their opinion, and then he retorts.
Right.
He's like, I don't agree with that. Can you expound on that? Why do you think blah, 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 blah? I'll give him that.
And shouldn't we all do that?
I mean,
come on.
It's a discourse, right? It's about
public discourse.
It's not about making somebody feel an inch tall like Bernstein does every single time. If you're not as smart as him, he's going to jump on you and treat you like shit.
He deems that you're not as smart as
him. Correct. Right. If he thinks you're not as smart as him, he's going to jump on your shit on the air and make you feel a foot tall or an inch tall. And then you're going to tune out. Right? Nobody wants to. It's uncomfortable to listen to.
It is.
Oh, there's my goodness, no welcoming to that, to, hey, you should tune into this.
No.
And if you like this, you should tune into this. There's none of that. It's, fuck you, get off my air. And if you don't like it, fuck off. And that's the way, and when a on-air personality has that way, they paint that picture for the entire station. This is what Dan Bernstein absolutely 100% does.
Now, the Twitter sphere
has
gone nuts, basically saying... trying to tear down Jason, saying, oh, well, you know, he always talked about how much money he made and how much his bonus checks were and blah, blah, blah. Right. And
that was brought up by people that called in. That he did not bring that up.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that he was painted into a corner.
He was.
And it was more of an admission than a brag.
Correct. He was just saying, I make good money. Yeah, my bonus checks are sweet. They're even sweeter during Cubs season. And golf was like, that's the facts. And I'm going to be here talking about it
until I'm not. Right.
Until he wasn't. Right?
Yeah.
And maybe that rubbed Jim DeCastro and the higher-ups at Entercom the wrong way.
Entercom.
Yeah. They're the ones that bought the Score. The Score used to be owned by CBS Radio.
Correct.
And CBS Radio, I believe, if my memory serves me right, sold off all of their properties. And Entercom bought the Score. Entercom was run by Jimmy DeCastro as the manager or the president or whatever. And so he wanted to put his footprint down. And
now,
unfortunately, that led to me not listening to it anymore. Jason's only going to listen during Cubs games.
I mean,
as a Sox fan, it was a quick exit.
Sure.
I never crossed my mind.
No.
To ever go back.
Right down the dial.
Right.
Even though you hate Waddle and Sylvie.
Right, and to be fair, when I'm in the car...
It's Cap,
and then it's Carmen and Yurko.
Okay.
For about 20 minutes.
Okay.
And they have crosstalk, and the crosstalk...
You know what? I'm fine with all those guys.
Correct. David Kaplan's kind of a character for himself.
He's a throwback.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and he has some humorous moments, and he has contacts, and he has people on, and he has great conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple of days I've listened, it's been fine. Is it Matt Spiegel? No.
No.
You know, not musical reference thrown in. And that's another thing irritating me about Danny Parkins.
No musical at all.
Like, how do you live?
I mean, it started off as a joke and then they had to bail on it because it was just
pathetic.
Sad.
Right. Right. They play a song and Danny, you know who this is? No idea who this is. And it's like Stevie fucking Wonder. Like, oh, I don't know who this is. Like, what? Like, how do you not know who this is? But anyway, I think we've vented long enough.
You think? I think I could go another 5 hours.
I could go another 10 hours.
Probably. About people, and like I told Joe earlier, I never tweet. I don't go out there. I don't do things. But because of this, I really felt, it affected my life. And unfortunately, that's when things happen, right?
Correct.
You're able to stand by and you take something as long as you can, as long as it doesn't touch you directly.
Right.
And this hit me close to home.
Big time. I
would like to say that 80% of the tweets I put up there, people were on board with.
Sure.
And then I had the few 20%ers that, said,
ratings
are ratings.
They wouldn't do this without whatever.
And, right. Yeah. And wasn't Goff more racist than anybody that ever called in?
No.
What?
Under no circumstances.
What? No, there was a cat that put up a tweet that said, Goff mentioned somebody dunking on a bunch of little white boys.
Okay.
Which made me laugh.
Which I thought is that funny.
Was pretty funny.
Right.
And this guy goes, if a white guy would have said, a white guy dunked on a bunch of little black boys.
We all know that wouldn't happen.
Right, exactly. And just, come on, man.
Right.
Really?
Right, right. And it's, look, I think both of us are more pissed off about who we have to listen to if we were to tune into the score.
No.
I want no
It's not going to last. It can't.
And that's, unfortunately, that's no reflection on the production staff.
None. But I understand why they're staying.
They have to. It's their job. Oh, fuck. Right? Lord. And there's, I've undergone thousands of changes at work over the last 2 years, right? Because my company got bought too.
Yeah.
And it's, you got to undergo this, that, and that, that, that. And you just got to put your nose down and just do your job.
Well, and then that's why.
That's what they're doing.
And that's why I say God bless Lawrence and Herb, because they're like, you know what? We're putting on a show tonight.
Right.
That's why we're here.
That's going to happen.
This is our job. Yeah. This is what we do.
Yes.
And I get it.
Right.
And nothing against y'all.
And Shep and Nick Shepkowski and Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp. Those guys are dealing with repercussions they shouldn't have to deal with.
Right.
Right.
Out of their control.
Completely out of their control. But they have to do the best job they can do because it is out of their control. They can only do in life, in the work life, you can only control what you can control.
Right.
You can't let anybody else affect that necessarily. Like, you have to do what you have to do.
Yeah.
Blinders on, do what I got to do, do what I got to do, do what I got to do, do what I got to do. And if there's a whirlwind around you, the job itself doesn't really change, especially if you're a radio producer.
Right.
But your job is to get guests, screen callers, and, you know, run the board and whatever else that producers do. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right. And if you're as good as those three guys that we just mentioned,
you're
able to throw in
correct
comments and then.
And not only that, but you're able to check out. Like, you're able to do whoever's in front of you.
Right.
Because it's your job to do it.
My guess is we are not going to hear much from those folks like we used to.
No.
There's going to be guests.
I've tweeted
the board's going to be run perfect. There's going to be callers screened.
Correct.
But that's what you're getting.
Right. And I've tweeted at them with no response. So.
And I miss.
I wish them all the best. But I will not.
I want to have Jay on here.
I would love to have Jay Zawoski on our show. Are you kidding me?
To talk music.
For sure.
Talk whatever you want to talk about.
I don't give a shit. But at the same point, it is what it is. That was our rant, I think.
Yeah,
we're about to wrap it out. I wish them nothing but the best, but that doesn't mean I have to be a part of it. And I've stopped listening to them completely. I feel bad for Jason because he's as a Cub fan. They're on the Cubs. You know, the Cubs are on the radio. And Jason, I think he's admitted this earlier, but he'd rather listen to it than watch it.
Always.
That's your kind of thing.
Theater
of the mind kind of thing.
Yeah.
So. I feel bad for you. You have to tune in that station.
That's all right.
But at the same point,
I still get Pat and Ron.
Nobody involved. Right. You get Pat and Ron. And
I'll pretend it's on GN.
And Double Z.
Yeah.
ZZ Top.
The ginger-haired genius.
That's right. Zach Zabin will be on there. So yeah,
Mark Grody out.
I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you.
On your attempted score adventure. Listening. But I'm not a part of it.
Anyway, you aren't. No, you are Jason Benetti and Steve Stone.
It's my guys.
Yeah.
I love Jason Benetti.
He's a good kid.
So that's going to wrap it up for this podcast. We've said what we need to say about Chicago radio. I can't believe.
For now.
The clock is just, oh my God. You sure things not going faster than
we're running up against it. We did jump ahead an hour this week.
Jeff. We did, but it doesn't mean the clock goes any faster. Just
really?
Just we just get talking, then you look at the clock and go, oh crap, it's been this long. So we're going to wrap it up for this episode. We thank you for listening. Hit us up on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at JSleetShirley. You can hit us up on Facebook, www.facebook.com/itsthatpod. Hook us up. Give us a like. Throw us a bone. Something.
Yeah. Honestly. We're lonely. A little love, people.
We're lonely. Please subscribe. All right, that'll wrap it up for this episode of It's That Podcast.